Yo, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Big slate, 12 games of action today. Dave Lochran, Matt Bellman, taking you through everything. Pitchers, stacks, you name it. Looking at the Sims, the lineup generator, throughout all the tools, top pitchers, top stacks tool, all that stuff that guides us throughout the morning. And then, of course, you got Live Before Lock tonight as well. What's going on, brother?
Nothing, man. New week. Happy to be here. My daughter is finally back in school. Dropped her off yesterday only to be told that it was still closed. So I am throwing myself a little party around here today.
What are they closing your school for?
It was Passover.
I mean, we're this is daycare, correct?
Yeah, it's like a Jewish daycare. So they closed it for the week of Passover.
Oh, okay. All right. Mine goes to a Christian daycare. They don't close for much. It's nice.
No, they don't. I mean, mine doesn't either. This one, they actually gave the parents like an option of whether they, and I guess most people voted that they did not want daycare, which is a surprise to me, but it is what it is.
My wife just went part-time, so now the kids are only going to be going a couple days a week. Good for them, bad for me, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you
mean. Guess who's going to be down here all day? This guy. Happy to have you guys with us. Hey, if you haven't done so, I know you're just walking in. Hit that thumbs up. Goes a long way. Appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment down below if you're watching or listening after the fact. And as always, you want to listen in podcast form. It's out there. You know where to find it. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you may listen. Leave us a rating and a review there too. We appreciate that. Any help. It's free. Goes a long way. Only a couple seconds of your time. And it doesn't go unnoticed. Anyway, we got a 12-game slate tonight, Matt. So a lot to get into. No doubt about that. Got some basketball today. We'll have deeper dive for that. Live Before Lock. Everything will be on playback as well. Our tools just updated, so we're in business. Top stacks, top pitchers tool. Let's do as we usually do and kick it off with some pitchers for today. Now, first thing I want to dive into is I'll ask you the same question I did last time, right? Scale from 1 to 10. We get a 12-game slate. How deep is pitching today? Yesterday it was weird because they had like a handful of options in the 6K range, a handful in the 8K range. You know, really only one or two guys up top. What about today?
I'll say learning from my past mistakes, I'll say today is an 8. I don't think it's much higher than that just because there's a ton of pitchers on this slate, obviously 26 or 24 to be exact, but only a couple guys up top that look like really, really good plays, and then a lot of murky options. So I'll say 8. Maybe I could change that to an 8.5. How about you?
Yeah. The one thing that I run into is when you look at these pitchers, you have some good ones. You have Freddie Peralta, you have Luis Castillo, two, you know, high strikeout guys. You have Logan Webb against Boston, John Gray against Washington. Obviously, Lopez in a good strikeout matchup, favorable park against Seattle. Mitch Keller against Oakland, that's another good spot. But unlike what we've seen recently, a lot of these top-end pitchers don't have the greatest matchups. Like Castillo's got a good park, favorable park at home against Atlanta. That's not great, even though, you know, Atlanta was shut down yesterday. Freddie Peralta against Tampa. When you look at the ownership compared to their matchups, it is a little bit startling. Like, these are great pitchers with big upside, and it kind of, like, even in more difficult matchups, they can piece together some really fine performances. But, you know, two 30% owned guys today facing Atlanta and Tampa, respectively.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised Peralta isn't picking up even more ownership. This matchup is just really, really good right now. We know Tampa ultimately has upside in their lineup, but this offense has been putrid all year long. No Brandon Lau, no Josh Lowe. Of course, no Wander Franco. This lineup is not great, and they strike out a ton. I think Peralta looks like the clear top starter on the slate. And I think in real life, Castillo is a better pitcher than Peralta. The matchups are just, it's so much worse for Castillo here.
It definitely is. He's got a favorable park for sure. Yeah,
he's coming off two really good starts, though. He had struggled a little bit to start the year, yep. Dominated Colorado, and then was really good in Texas.
Absolutely. But, you know, even Tampa, like, you definitely have some good points. What, middle of the road in strikeouts versus righties, 23%. 101 WRC plus is 12th. It's like they haven't been – like, this is – despite them not being the offense that they were, say, last year, right? This is still nowhere close to, like, a White Sox, Colorado, Oakland, Detroit-type matchup.
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, let's talk about it at the top, because you have Peralta and Castillo. I would have loved, you know, I think in another world, on another slate, you're looking at this and you're going, wow, Castillo is virtually unowned because he's facing Atlanta. Here's the thing. Luis Castillo, if he continues to pitch well, he's going to be up close to like 10K again. He's 8,600 today. And that's why this ownership is so heavy on Castillo. It's not the matchup, obviously. Sure, the park helps. He's 8,600. I'm not sure the matchup makes a difference at this price point.
Yeah, it's just a price thing here. I'm with you. It is a ballpark combination of, you know, put those two things together. I think his ownership would be a lot lower in Atlanta. Just a much better pitcher's park here. You've got a lot of murky options or guys like Ronaldo Lopez that have been pitching well this year. I don't really want to spend $1,000 more for Lopez than I do Castillo, even if the spot's a little bit better. So when you take all of that into consideration, I do understand why Castillo is getting that ownership. You know, I guess recent form has brought down Mitch Keller a little bit. He's been very hit or miss this year. There just aren't any sure things or really good pitchers on this slate aside from Castillo or Peralta. There are guys that have good stretches, guys that have started the year good, but there aren't guys with the proven track record of a Castillo and Peralta.
Yeah, I agree. And look, Ronaldo Lopez has been excellent, all right? He's also been the beneficiary of some really good matchups. Like, he got the White Sox to start the season, then he got the Mets. Let's not forget, the Mets started the season off with, like, you know, 5 runs in 15 games. I'm exaggerating, but the Mets, you remember, were terrible to start the season. Like, that offense was down there with the White Sox. And then Houston, whose offense was dormant up until, you know, semi-recently, still doesn't look great, but their offense was completely invisible. And then Miami. But he has been insanely good. He's given up 1 home run. He struck out 6, 7, 6, and 5 in these 4 starts. Granted, some of these teams, not particularly high strikeout rates outside of Chicago. Do you know what his strand rate is, though, his left on base percentage? Take a guess.
It's got to be crazy low. Tell me.
97%.
Oh, crazy high. Yeah, that's insane.
97%.
That's insane.
Granted, he's also not allowing base runners. So this is a tough spot for me because I look at it, I go, yeah, he's expensive. But, like, does Lopez just keep cruising because he has another favorable matchup in a favorable park? 26% strikeout rate on the season, 12.5% swinging strike rate. Does he just keep getting it done again tonight and we pay for it?
I don't think that's a crazy take. I don't know what to make of Lopez because we know that in years prior, he's had really good stuff. He's just struggled with inconsistencies. There were times where he was getting hit harder than basically any other pitcher in the majors. There have been times where he's been one of the best relievers in the majors. Seems to have put it together a bit for this Atlanta team, you know, starter full-time now. For me, even if I am buying what Lopez is selling to start the year, which I'm kind of hesitant, but you have to buy it at least a little bit. It's just a price thing. I can't pay full price for Lopez. And he's getting ownership. I get the matchup against Seattle. It's pristine. I would just rather go to Castillo or go to Peralta. Even Logan Webb, even though the ownership is higher. See, this is why I don't think it's crazy that a guy like Lopez is getting love and why I don't think pitching is deeper than an 8 today, just because there are a lot of murky options.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Seattle has a 30% strikeout rate in 800 plate appearances against righties. It's an objectively good spot.
Yeah, I mean, we saw both these teams last night not get a hit until the 6th inning with 2 really good pitchers on the hill. I mean, I could easily see running it back today. I'm not buying that, like, the pitchers are going to take this series over. I mean, we know these offenses, especially the Braves, can be really good. But given the other options on this slate, I understand why both Castillo and Lopez are picking up a good amount of ownership. I mean, right now, Lopez is the fifth highest owned pitcher on the slate.
Yeah, he's exactly. I mean, he's behind Gray, Webb, Castillo, and Peralta. You got Max Fried coming off six hitless innings, gave up two base runners, had 15 swinging strikes, and struck out a season high seven against Seattle. The question now just becomes, yeah, do you want to go full price on Ronaldo Lopez, or do you want to look elsewhere? I will say the one silver lining is that 18% isn't really that high of ownership. I mean, I'm looking at
we have
seven guys that are in the he's right in the middle. Like he's right there with Mitch Keller, Sean Manaea, and John Gray. I'll even throw Logan Webb into the conversation. I think the big gap in ownership is Castillo and Peralta, right? So who do you like more? And obviously, like we're providing context, price is factored in here. John Gray, 7,300. He's getting 20%. He's against Washington. Logan Webb's at Fenway against Boston. He's 8,300, getting 23% ownership. Keller, essentially the same ownership as Lopez right now, 8,800. And an 8K Manaea against the Cubs, not the greatest matchup. Sure, it's a fine park at Citi Field. He's getting 15% as well.
I think I like Gray the best between them just because he's the cheapest. For me, though, I think the interesting comparison is Lopez versus Castillo himself. I think that, like, you're right, that Lopez is getting 18% ownership, but it's not that high. And in higher dollar stuff, I could see that being even a little bit lower with Castillo and Peralta picking up even more ownership. I think the Lopez v. Castillo is really, really interesting here because certainly we know Castillo is the better quote-unquote pitcher. He's been an ace for years. Lopez has really struggled to come into his own. That said, as far as this year goes, you could make the case that Lopez hasn't even been a little bit better, and the matchup is much better for Lopez here. I mean, you'd much rather face Seattle than Atlanta. I don't care where the game's being played. You're also paying more for Lopez. So that is the real interesting one. I think I prefer the Castillo side there, even with the ownership, but I wouldn't fault anyone for taking the other side on that.
What do you make of Mitch Keller? Because Mitch Keller, you know, just inked a big contract coming into this season with the Pirates. You know, a lot of the underlying numbers look pretty similar to me. You know, even you look at his 9.5% swinging strike rate, that's the same he had last year. Most of these numbers, contact rates and everything, look pretty similar. Maybe there's a part of me that goes, you know, maybe Mitch Keller just isn't actually a 25% strikeout pitcher that he was last year. Like, maybe that's entirely possible. Maybe last year he was just better than we thought he was. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those spots where he's 8,800. It's a great matchup. But then again, you run into these situations where, you know, you want to play him. It looks like a good spot, but they don't necessarily have it. His velocity is what? I suppose down a bit from last year, sitting 94 miles per hour on the fastball. Like, are there any red flags with Mitch Keller, or are you full systems go here? All system go.
I'm definitely not all systems go. It's a little bit weird with Keller. In spring training, his velocity was down like 3 to 4 miles per hour. He had a bad spring. He came into the season and those trends continued. He was not good in his first couple starts. He got hit around by Miami and Washington. Not good signs. Then he put it together, had back-to-back really good start against Detroit and then another solid start against Philly, and then has fallen off again against Boston and Milwaukee. I don't know what to make of Keller here. I think that your points about the matchup and the price being right is fine. And I think because of the other options on this slate, he's certainly a good option, but I'm not ready to plant my flag here or say that he's one of the best options.
You know, even in that spot against Philly, right? It's like, he still coughed up 8 hits. He had 7% swinging strikes. That's the thing that alarms me a little bit. You look at these last three games, swinging strike rate, 7%. Listen to this, Matt, 4% against Boston, 8% against Milwaukee.
Not a good trend.
It's not. And it's only one stat. I get it. But they weren't swinging at anything outside. I don't know. But then on the other side of this, it's still the Oakland A's. In Oakland. Like, you just had Bailey Falter yesterday come out and rack up, what, five strikeouts in, was it five innings? Got tuned up late. But if Falter can give you five strikeouts, like a 17% strikeout guy, Mitch Keller still, and like I said, I know Falter faltered late. Ah, see what I did there? But still still was getting swinging strikes. And the question now just becomes, like, is this a spot where you suck it up and you go, you know what, Keller hasn't necessarily been as nearly as good as he was last year, but the matchup's too good for me to ignore?
I wouldn't fault anyone who took that route and played it that way. I think I'd rather – I like Gray more. I like Lopez more, even at the higher price tag. I like Logan Webb more. I just feel better about these guys as pitchers themselves, knowing that Keller's in the best spot, in the best ballpark. Now, I will say, Oakland's been feisty lately. After they started the year, like, I don't know, 1-7 or whatever, they're 500 since then. Similar to the White Sox, who were putrid for the first however long of the season, and now have started to get things rolling at least a little bit. Again, I'm not looking to stack Oakland against Keller, but if he's off, I think Oakland could hit him here.
I think you're right. I don't disagree. And he has been off quite a bit.
I mean, you look at the first two starts, Miami and Washington, these are not potent offenses, and he really struggled.
And it's not even like, okay, so you just look at a few things. His strand rate, 66%, sure. He'll see some improvement there, but league average is what? Like, I think 72, 71%, something like that, right? BABIP is 333. What's league average BABIP? Around 310, I think, something like that, something in that range, around the 300 mark. You can pull it up, what a league average BABIP is. I think it's around 300. But I don't know. It feels like there are some red flags here.
I'm seeing 300 as like the average.
Yeah, 300. What about a guy in Cole Reagans? Like, this guy's, see, here's a guy that has a difficult matchup, but he's nasty. Like, he's really good. Matter of fact, last time he started was against Toronto. I think that game got rained out in five. That's why he... Right? Because he only threw 76 pitches. Five innings, three hits, one earned. I mean, at times he can walk some hitters, but Cole Reagans is $7,800, getting 7% ownership today. And he's a legitimately good pitcher who can rack up strikeouts, currently sitting with a K rate of 28% on the season. 7% walk rate is more than manageable here. This guy's got great stuff. Another question becomes then, Do you say, you know what? I'm okay with this matchup. He's 7,800 and he's good.
It scares the bejeebies out of me because of the matchup, but you're right. I think of all these guys, you know, outside of Castillo or Peralta, you could make the case that Reagans is the best stuff out of all of them. And he's got pretty decent reverse splits. So a lot of the, you know, potent righties that they're going to be throwing at Reagans, he's obviously done better against righties. Now, who knows if that lasts? And I'm not saying that it has to hold true tonight, but at the lack of ownership and a pretty cheap price point, he's definitely on my short list. I hate using pitchers against the team they just started against. I know that the numbers kind of say it's a wash, just something I don't like to do for whatever that's worth, but I'm not going to not use Reagans because of that. He's wildly in play because of everything you said.
Yeah, he's just good. And
yeah,
the way I see it is, like, if you've got a lot of these other pitchers priced in this high 8 and 9K range, Reagan should at least be a mid 8K pitcher.
Definitely, especially when you've got a guy like Woods Richardson at 7K now. There's no reason he should be under 8. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and granted, Toronto, low strikeout rate versus lefties, only 226 played a pit. Let me go back to the start of last season, as a matter of fact.
You know what else, too? Like, I know that Reagans isn't, like, that much cheaper than the Castillos and the other guys we've talked about. But it does matter today because we're not seeing any cheap starter pick up ownership because there aren't really any viable ones.
Right. Yeah, that's a good call. And look, it's an objectively bad matchup, but
sure.
78. I think kind of the theme, not just for Reagans, but for a lot of these pitchers that we've talked about, the theme today is that you just have a lot of good pitchers in not great matchups, and several of them are underpriced, like Castillo, Cole Reagans. Some of these guys are just priced cheaper than they should be, I think. Shit, man, Spencer Turnbull, who's been fantastic, but he's 9,100.
I was definitely looking at him, though, just because he's been really freaking good this year.
Yes.
The matchup's good. We don't have, like, starters on this slate you just feel great about. I mean, the fact that Castillo, who I'm a big Castillo guy, is getting 30% ownership against the Braves, I can't remember the last time a pitcher got this much love against Atlanta.
Turnbull's been very good. He's been the beneficiary as well with some pretty decent matchups. But outside of the walks, this dude's just not putting guys on base. 9,100 scares the hell out of me, though, for Spencer Turnbull. I'll be completely honest here, man.
He's just not that guy. I mean, 100%.
That is a jarring price point. But you're right. This is not exactly – this Angels lineup is even – last year, how many good hitters would you say they had last year?
I mean, maybe two with Ohtani and Trout.
Ohtani, right? And aside from that, it was basically like league average or worse.
Sure, Ward's okay. I know he's having a decent year this year.
But nobody that scares you.
No.
I mean, this season, they have a sub 100 WRC plus against righties. 25% strikeout rate is sixth highest in the league. Now, this park isn't perfect, but you are right. It is a good outside of Trout, it's not a team that really scares you all that much.
Yeah, like the biggest thing and why I understand why he's not getting ownership is because he's just not a $9,100 pitcher.
Oh, he's not.
He's too expensive while other guys are too cheap, as you've mentioned. That said, like, that doesn't mean that for tonight he's a bad play at 9,100. I know you're probably spreading yourself a little bit thin to get there, but at the end of the day, pitching pricing doesn't matter all that much as long as you can get in the bats that you want. And I could see a bunch of these high-owned pitchers not getting blown up per se, but just having okay starts. And if Turnbull's a little bit better, that gets you a leg up. I mean, again, he's pretty low in our top pitcher tool. I'm not excited about spending 9,100 on him. I just think he's falling through the cracks too much. An 11% chance of being a top two pitcher, only 3% ownership. Yeah, I'm interested.
There's 12 pitchers at 8K or higher on DraftKings. It's a lot.
Yeah, there is.
And like, not all of them. Like, not Jordan Montgomery against the Dodgers as far as ownership. Like, look at some of these. Berríos is still getting close to 10%. Lopez, 18. Peralta, 32. Turnbull's getting zero ownership. Castillo, 30. Darvish isn't getting much at 3%. Neither is, you know, Javier Assad, but that's to be expected. Logan Webb at 22. Mackenzie Gore against Texas in Texas. Yeah, 4%. Texas has a 5-run implied total. And then even Manaea is getting 15% against Chicago. Are you getting the Manaea at 15%?
I don't think it's a bad play. He's been good this year. I know he's coming off a bad start against the Dodgers, but that's the Dodgers, so kind of give him a mulligan there. I think Manaea is in play. The guy I like more in this price range that I'm a little surprised isn't getting love is Berríos. I know you've talked about this a lot. These Toronto pitchers at home have been a lot better. I know last night it didn't work out that way. Berríos been really solid so far this year. Again, we're not playing him because of this, but averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. He gets an okay spot at home against the Royals. I'm not excited about the spot, but I'm not excited about any of the spots these pitchers are in, except for maybe Peralta, and he's 10K. So Berríos definitely more in play for me than I think the field would imply. I don't see that much of a difference between him and who is the guy that was getting a lot of love right there? Like Keller, who's getting more than Logan Webb was the guy I was thinking of. I don't really see why Webb should be getting three times as much love as Barrios here.
That's a very fair point. It's a common theme of this show. There's just so many guys that are pulling ownership compared to others that aren't. Like, I think Turnbull's obviously hard to get to at 9,100, but, you know, Manaea, 15%. Barrios against Kansas City's 8%. He's a very good pitcher. Mitch Keller is one of the higher-owned pitchers, and the only reason he's getting any ownership is because of this matchup, because he certainly hasn't been stellar. Castillo at 30. My God,
dude. I can't believe that Castillo ownership. Like, I'm a huge Castillo guy. I've played him the past two slates. I don't think I can get on board with this. Like, Atlanta's really, really good. I don't know if it's people buying into the recency bias. They haven't been great lately. But this is a team that's been one of the most popular offenses basically every slate for the entire year. And now all of a sudden, just because Castillo is a little bit too cheap, like the roles are getting completely flipped. I don't know about that. I know Castillo is in good form right now. Three really good starts in a row. He also struggled real bad to start the season. Was not good against Boston. Was not good against Cleveland. Was not good against Toronto. Again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen again tonight, but I think he's over-owned.
I mean, you just put eyes on that Atlanta lineup, and it's right. It's not friendly at all. I know Olsen has struggled, and you know there's probably four strikeouts right there, but there's still a lot of power. And Acuña, Albies, Riley to start this off.
And Olsen, it's not even just that Castillo's getting ownership. Like, I get that he's getting love. It's that he's getting so much love. He's right. The second highest on the slate. He's getting owned like he's facing the Pirates at home or something.
Yeah, right, because it's 30% for a 12-game slate.
Right.
Pretty wild. Jordan, pull up. Did you run the Sims? Yeah, pull this up. I just want to see what our exposures look like to pitching here. I also want to see how much of this Simeon Woods Richardson character we're getting again. All right, so a lot of gray. We're a little bit above the field on Castillo, but nothing crazy there, Matt. 39% Peralta. A lot of John Gray right now. A lot of John Gray in this matchup against Washington.
Yeah, we didn't talk about him a lot, but he might be my favorite pitcher on the slate. Just price, matchup, everything considered. I don't love picking on Washington. They're not good, but they're not horrendous, and they don't strike out a ton, but it's not a bad spot by any means. And he's just too cheap. He's coming off a good start. There's no reason he should be 7,300, and Mitch Keller should be 8,800 in my eyes.
That's a fair point. Less strikeouts for Washington, but yeah, John Gray has been good. I mean, the only issue here is that he hasn't been efficient. You can be pretty efficient against Washington, though. Like, yeah. he didn't get out of the fifth against Seattle. He went six strong against Detroit, though, five against Oakland. And those were both solid starts. At 7,300, who cares at this point, right? Like, they're big money line favorites. A lot of win equity in this spot. Like, what's the money line on this? They got to be minus 180, 190.
Gore's good, but it doesn't really matter. I'm going to say 180 is a good call.
The minus one. I forgot it was Gore on the other side, who's not terrible. Minus 150. So, all right. But still, relatively big favorites at home. Are there any other cheap pitching options that, like, Soroka? No. Alex Wood? Probably not. Martinez against San Diego? I'm good. Just looking down here, it's impossible to play Hunter Brown right now.
That's my guy. That's the one guy.
Against Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't love it. I hate the matchup, and Brown has been obviously very inconsistent. I just look at all these pitchers.
He's been very consistent.
Yeah, consistently shit. Bad. Yeah, true. He was obviously got lit up in that Kansas City start.
And that skews a lot. I get that, but.
And he was okay in the next start after that against Atlanta, and then started off against Washington, kind of similar to that Kansas City start, put it together. And again, I just think that Brown is not a $6,800 pitcher. Now, maybe this year he's just shit and he's never going to be good at all. But this is a guy with a ton of pedigree. He's been good at the major league level, not just at the major league level, but in the playoffs, in stressful spots. This is a guy that was around 9K-ish for a lot of the year last year, coming into this year. I just think you're buying the ultimate low on someone like this. And again, I wouldn't consider him in cash games. I don't feel great about it. But when you look at the pitching pricing on this slate, and then when you start to look at the hitter pricing, there aren't really cheap pitchers that I think are viable at all. So I'm going to, I don't want to say plant my flag, but say that if I'm going down here, I'm going to buy the talent on Brown, even though he hasn't been great and it's a bad matchup.
Okay. All right. You know, I think the biggest hang up for me is just Cleveland 19% K rate versus righties. Go back to the start of last season, lowest K rate in the league against right-handed pitching. They're not exactly a power laden offense. They haven't been terrible this year, but it's just the strikeouts are hard to come by, and he's
not missing bats. Like I probably won't end up playing him because of everything you're saying. I would really like to find a pitcher in this range that I could use. Sure. You know? Sure.
I just want to see him missing some bats so he can kind of do some damage control in the event that he gets, you know, tagged a little bit. But I get, you know, if he's getting beat up, it doesn't matter if he's missing bats or not. Like, it's just going to be,
right.
It's not going to matter whether you played him and it's just going to be over. I mean, John Gray, we both agree, clearly the best cheap pitching option on the slate. After
he
that,
might just, go ahead. He might be the best overall option just because of his price. Yeah, sorry, seriously. To cut you off.
Seriously. After that, I think, like, if we're just talking sub 8K, Cole Reagans is 7,800 and you're getting 7% ownership, some positive leverage there. I don't see, is there anyone else sub 8K? Like, no. I'm not playing Carrasco against Houston.
I think you've kind of nailed the head on Reagans. Like, I don't like the spot. It scares me. But there is just absolutely no reason. And throw Gray in this mix, that him and Gray should be under 8K when Keller's 8,800. Darvish coming back from an injury is 84. Javier Assad is 84. Montgomery against the Dodgers is 87. So I think Gray is the number one guy under 8K. Then I think it's Reagans, and it's not particularly close. The problem is that while Reagans is under 8K, he's not like cheap. He's barely under 8K.
The only other guy we have to talk about now is Simeon Woods Richardson. We wouldn't be having this conversation if he wasn't going up against the Chicago White Sox, who he's made two starts this season. Okay. He faced Detroit. And then last week he faced the White Sox. So now his three starts on the year are going to be Detroit, Chicago, and Chicago. This is still somebody, though, that, like, this is a guy who, prior to these starts, pitched what, like, fewer than 10 innings at the major league level, and he's been in the system since 2018. Is the other shoe going to drop at some point? Like, it is a really good matchup. There's no denying that. But last time he still was putting guys on base. The strikeouts bailed him out. He didn't get the win. He was $4,000. He's 7K today.
The funny thing about him is he's not like a really highly regarded prospect, but he's been in two big deals. So the Mets drafted him and then traded him to the Blue Jays in the Marcus Stroman deal when, you know, years ago. And then the Blue Jays traded him to the Twins in the Jose Berríos deal. So he's been like the headline in two major deals, even though he's not really that good. That has nothing to do with this slate. Just an aside, I'm not buying him here. He's not been good in the minors. I know he's had success in his two starts this year. Another guy that's facing the same team he just went up against. He had some K success in that last start. Wasn't very good other than that. And his price has doubled. The White Sox are also, again, take this with a grain of salt and for whatever it's worth, they're better right now than they were a week ago. They swept Tampa. They've scored more runs in the past 5 days than I think they did all season prior to that. The addition of Tommy Pham in their lineup has done something. So again, it's still a premier spot, but I don't like the spot as much as I did when he was 4K, and he's not 4K anymore.
Did they sweep Tampa?
They did.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Everything you said is very reasonable. And I'll just add one more thing, because we don't need to belabor the point here. You guys want to look, you make your own decisions, right? But last year, he pitched over 100 innings at AAA, 113 innings. He had a 19% K rate. That's not good.
No, he's not very good. Like, I don't think he's garbage, no, but sure. I don't think he's going to have continued success at the major league level. If you were 4K again, I'd be all for it, just because of the other options on this slate.
Jordan, let's pull up the stacks on the Sims. Also, run the lineup generator for me. See where we're at on that. Guys, tomorrow, last day to get the deal. We've been running this for, what, like 5-6 days now. It's the last day tomorrow. You wanted to check out the lineup generator. You've been sitting on the fence. It's $5 for the entirety of the week. So obviously you get in today, you've got a huge slate of Tuesday baseball, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, probably next Tuesday as well, depending on what time you get in at. Links in the description and in chat. You're talking well under $1 a day to check this tool out. You can select all of your stack types. You can select whether you want to, you know, cash lineups, right? You want to build tournament lineups. You want to just do balance builds, contrarian builds. Doesn't matter. However you want to do it. Or just go all builds, all stacks, see what you get. Then you can see the optimal projection for every lineup, how chalky or contrarian it is. You see the save and discard down there. So like, you don't like this lineup? All right, discard it. You love it? Save it. Or you want to make a little tweak? You can swap players out. You can lock players in. All of those customizable features available to you. I would recommend not going crazy with it, with like tweaking it, because the only lineups that we're giving you are the ones after we've thrown out like 99% of the ones that were deemed not good in this model. So we wanted to, and then after you save all the ones you like, we'll do it in a second. You don't have to save them all yet, Jordan. Go ahead, screw it. You can go, you'll see all of your exposures, stack exposures, individual player, pitcher exposures, all of the lineups individually. You can upload them straight to CSV, DraftKings, FanDuel, throw them right into in there seamlessly. And it's optimized for mobile as well. So you'd be firing off a dump, get home from work. You're like, yeah, I need to get some lineups in. I haven't looked at the slate. Boom. Now you've got it less than five, or for $5 the entire week, less than $1 a day. So just 1 day left on this. Link in the description and in chat if you want to check it out. $5 for the first week. Let's take a look, Jordan, at the exposures here before we dive into stacks. I like to set myself up for this. Minnesota, we had people in chat mentioning that as well. I think it was Brandon. Yeah, Brandon and Chris. Texas, Dodgers. Okay, actually, Matt, pretty spread out for 20 lineups as far as exposures go there.
Not surprised. In our tools, no team is projected to be over 10% owned. It's actually Minnesota, the highest at 9.5, and then Washington at 9.3. That's wild to me.
That is pretty wild. I mean,
John Gray's pretty good. He's not an ace, but on this slate, why?
I don't really understand that either. Huh. And it's obviously they're cheap, but
sure.
And there's leverage over John Gray, but that doesn't, like, the leverage shouldn't factor into the ownership here, you know? So you're right. That is odd. Top stack probability, though. So the likelihood that these teams are top stacks. Dodgers against Montgomery, number one. I will say, though, Jordan Montgomery has always been that type of guy that's just, like, he never gets the fanfare, the recognition in that respect. But Jordan Montgomery's not bad, and he never has been, and he doesn't give up a lot of power.
I would take it a step farther and say he's good.
He is.
I think he's a solid number two starter. This is a play on just the Dodgers, you know, themselves, and they can beat any pitcher. There's enough bad pitchers on the slate where I don't want to sell my soul to get to the Dodgers, but on any given night, they're going to be in play. We saw it the other day with Chris Bassett, who's probably similarly talented as Jordan Montgomery. They went completely off.
Minnesota against Soroka, second highest. Actually, I believe, yeah, our highest stack score is Minnesota. And one of the reasons for that is just going to be that you're not paying nearly as much of a premium for those guys as you would be for the Dodgers. Matter of fact, I'm looking just strictly on DraftKings right now. I can pull up FanDuel as well. Look at the pricing on these Minnesota bats. Now, look, you don't have the names. You don't have the Mookie Betts, the Freddie Freemans, the Shohei Ohtanis. You also don't have a single guy priced above 4,400 going up against Michael Soroka.
Yeah, I think cash game build is pretty easy. Like, without getting into too specifics, it's Peralta, Castillo, and then a bunch of Twins. Where I want to pivot, though, and kind of tie in the pitchers and why I think Hunter Brown is in play for me. I know you by now, and I know you'll have some interest in Philly here, because why wouldn't you? They're really good. They're high in our top stack tool, and they're not getting as much love as they should be. I feel similarly about Houston. It is almost impossible to stack Philly and or Houston and use even one of the expensive pitchers. Sure, you can mix in like the bottom of their lineups, but I'm talking about if you want to stack Harper, Schwarber, Turner, you know, Bohm and whoever else, or Alvarez, Tucker, Altuve, it's really, really difficult. And that's where I think the cheap pitching comes in play, even though it's not safe at all.
Yeah, the only question then becomes, like, how many people are just going to jam John Gray in those lineups?
He will be very owned there. But I don't mind that. Like, I'll play Gray and I don't care about the ownership. I think you're getting so different from the field elsewhere by using a Hunter sure. Brown or a Cole Reagans or whoever it is, and not stacking one of those popular offenses that
I misunderstood what you were saying. You're saying you would use Hunter Brown in those lineups to differentiate. Right. I got
correct.
You. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. And you mentioned Philly too. Look, Anderson's going to see some matchups towards the top of the order with Schwarber and Bryce Harper, lefty-lefty matchups. But like, Harper can smash left-handed pitching. Schwarber is going to strike out, but Anderson gets very, very little, very few swings and misses. 17% strikeout rate for his career, by the way. He's 20%, but he hasn't been above 20% since 2019. Like, he's hovering in the 18-19% range since 2020. And that's outside of Colorado. So I don't know, man. There's nothing really redeeming about him here outside of the fact that Philly is the type of team that'll have some holes in their swings at times. Like, Castellanos, just my God, that guy, it's shocking that he's still starting at this point. But you're right, they're expensive. There are some stacks that aren't as expensive, and I'm gonna do it. I have to ask you about the White Sox against Simeon Woods Richardson, because they're pulling only 4% ownership right now. Slight positive leverage in the top stacks tool. You had mentioned they actually are producing some runs right now, and God, who knows how long that lasts? Likely not all that long, but they're dirt cheap, dude. They are dirt cheap. Is this a spot where you're willing to say, you know, and it's not like you're getting leverage off Woods Richardson as you would have last time when he was $4,000. And this White Sox offense is still terrible. But is there something here? Like, if you're paying up for pitching, maybe two pitchers on a two-pitcher site like DraftKings, you consider some White Sox stacks?
Yeah, so I think White Sox and Oakland look really, really similar to me. I don't necessarily want a five-man stack them, because I think it's rare that these teams are the five-man stacks that take down the slate, because they just don't have a ton of power. But I also don't think the pitchers they're facing, you know, especially in the case of Woods Richardson, are particularly good. They've got cheap bats throughout their lineup. I like both Oakland and the White Sox more than Washington. I know Washington is much higher in our top stack tool, but if you combine the ownership of Oakland and the White Sox, you're not even close to Washington. So I'm with you. I think both those teams look really good as cheap stacks. And they're both, again, they're not good offenses, but they're playing better than they were a week or 2 weeks ago. I want to go back to Philly for a second, because I haven't really looked at this. Have you seen Alec Bohm's game log? Holy shit.
Dude, I think he's second in the entire league, not NL, but Major League Baseball. I think he's second in RBIs right now.
He's got double-digit fantasy points in 11 of 12 games.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's been absolutely – I was saying this to a buddy of mine the other day. Obviously, I'm in the area, right? So we're all Phillies fans. I said, this guy has been outrageously good. Yeah, he's second in the league in RBIs behind Marcell Ozuna. The only one. He's top five in hits. He's second in doubles behind Shohei Ohtani. He's dominating right now, dude. It's really, really crazy. He's third in OPS.
He's nuts.
Look, I don't know how long it lasts, but Alec Bohm, if there's runners on base, he's driving them in by way of long ball or just putting the ball in play. It's been remarkable to see what he's doing right now. I agree. And he's got the platoon advantage today against Anderson in a pretty favorable park.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. One other guy I just want to call out that has also been similarly phenomenal, Ellie De La Cruz. Yeah. Averaging 13 fantasy points per game, has eight homers and 18 steals. Talk about a DFS dream.
It's funny because you could argue that Alec Bohm should not be priced at $4,800.
Oh, I think he could easily be priced at $6,000 right now.
At this point, yeah. Like, would he be justified? Probably not.
You'd be paying for his production right now, but he's producing right now. So it's one of those... Right. You know, are you buying the hot streak? It's one of those.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. You're buying his ceiling, but yeah. Chris said Alec Bohm's majorly overperforming. His underlying stats don't line up. Yeah, of course. Man, look, we've seen enough of Alec Bohm to know that he's not the second best hitter in Major League Baseball. But
to your point though, on why, you know, even $6,000, that might be too much. He's $100 cheaper than Alex Bregman. I know if you look at the back of the baseball card, Bregman's had a phenomenal career. He's averaging 4 fantasy points per game this year. Like, there's no reason right today, April 30th, 2024, Bohm should be cheaper than Bregman.
No, I agree. Are there any other stacks you want to touch on?
Not really. You know, the Dodgers are the top stack in the tools and not getting a ton of ownership. I'm with you, though. Like, I respect Montgomery, I think, more than even the tools suggest.
I do, too.
Like, he's actually good. Like, Soroka's not good. Anderson's okay. Carrasco stinks. Hunter Brown isn't great. Like, there's a lot of bad pitching options on this slate. I don't really want to go to Montgomery, even though I know it's the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying to play Montgomery, but I just...
I don't want to go to target him. Excuse me.
Wait, what?
I said that wrong. I meant I don't really want to go on a big slate with all these bad pitching options. I don't want to target Montgomery.
Right. There's a lot of opportunities here, for sure. Yeah. And just looking at the bottom, a lot of teams that I just have very little interest in getting to. I wanted to ask you about one more before we go. And, Sleeper, $500 deposit bonus if you're new there. And free squares for baseball and for basketball today. If you're just jumping in and you're new over at Sleeper, you've got a free square on Jalen Brunson, half a point. So lock that up. Also, speak of the devil, Matt, Jordan Montgomery, over half a strikeout. So if you're jumping into those streets, you're looking to get some of those hires and lowers on all of these projections, build them into a lineup up to 100x your entry. With also dynamic pricing where you can take home runs, doubles, all of that stuff, triple doubles, double doubles in basketball, like all of those fun things, because they just attach a multiplier. So if you're talking 4-to-1 odds, you know, on a traditional book, you're looking at a 4x multiplier on a play like that. You can throw it in, generate, you know, cook up whatever you're looking for. You're getting up to $500 deposit bonus instantly when you sign up there. And you've got the free squares. Jalen Brunson, half a point. Jordan Montgomery for baseball. They don't do baseball too often for these. Over half a strikeout. So check it out if you're not on Sleeper. Link in the description and in chat. Great day to sign up with 2 free squares, one for basketball and for baseball. I want to ask you about Arizona against NAC before we go.
Oh, was that it? Just I thought you were going to ask me a follow up.
Are you interested in my fault. Usually I more succinct with that, but are you interested in Arizona against NAC today?
Interested for sure. Again, I think the tools bear that out. 5.6% chance of being the top stack, only 2.9% ownership. My biggest issue personally with prioritizing Arizona, they're in the same pricing tier as Philly and Houston, who I personally like slightly more, but I don't think that's like, if anyone said they liked Arizona more, I wouldn't fault them at all. So they're right in the mix for me.
Okay. Any interest in Oakland against Mitch Keller?
Definitely. Again, I don't really want to full stack them, but taking a few pieces, Tyler Nevins on fire right now, Lawrence Butler potentially leading off again. I look at them like I do the White Sox, where I don't mind at all picking really cheap pieces. And the other team, which we haven't mentioned at all that I have some interest in, well, two teams actually, San Francisco and Pittsburgh. Towards the upper half of the top stack tool, both of them, neither one getting a lot of ownership. Neither offense is great, but they're also facing kind of mediocre to bad pitching. So could see a lot of weird stuff playing out there.
Well, as always, appreciate you guys hanging out. Matt, you can find him on Twitter at Fantasy Tips Matt. We got a little Homer Dinger Tuesday thing going later on throughout the day. I'm at Lafayette underscore D. Keep an eye out on Twitter for that. Might have something good cooked up. All of us going to throw out favorite home run play for the day. And if any of them hit, might have a nice little promo going. Either way, I mean, let's play them. We hit last week, Cody Bellinger, first plate appearance of the game. And boom, we go yard. Let's try and run it back. Dinger Tuesday on FanDuel is awesome because even if your homer doesn't hit, you get a $5 bonus bet for every home run in that game on a $25+ home run bet. So yeah, that game, I think we had four homers and we hit Bellinger. So it's $20 in bonus bets plus the winnings on Bellinger. But even if not, you're only down $5 if Bellinger didn't hit, getting four home runs. I guess it would have been three, but you get the points. Very fun stuff. Come check us out later. Live before lock for basketball and for baseball right here tonight and on playback. We'll see you here tomorrow for the MLB Strategy Show. Peace.